Permet via, permet mister, I can from hell, let's stay long hell, by your plan, and I am bound, Lord, grant my feet on higher ground, I want to stay.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Well, last time we looked at an introduction to the book of Ephesians, and right now I'd like for us to start in verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Well, first of all, and I've already mentioned this in the introduction, how that Paul was the author of this book. Now, when I say he was the author, I simply mean that he was the one God used to pen down these words. He penned down the words that God breathed. In other words, this is what God wants us to see as we go through the Bible. And this is an epistle of Paul the Apostle of God to the Ephesians. And I might say, and we'll see this in just a moment, that this was written also to us, those people who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior today. Well, the Bible says there in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I see, first of all, that Paul was an apostle. He was the one who was... The Bible tells us he was one and teaches us that he was one that God chose after he was crucified. After the Lord was crucified, he chose Paul the Apostle to be an apostle. We go back to Acts chapter 9 and we read something of Paul the Apostle. Remember, if you studied the Bible, you know that Paul the Apostle, before he got saved, was a murderer. He was actually persecuting Christians. He was actually taking these people and taking them to jail or whatever. He was ruthless, and he wanted to stop what was going on. He didn't understand. But we go back to chapter 9 of the book of Acts, and we see that in verse 3 it says, "And as he journeyed," that's Paul, "he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said," now this is Saul speaking, who later would become Paul, of course, "and he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said," and this is Paul once again, this is Saul, "said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." And notice in verse 7 it says, "And the men which journeyed with him," with Paul, "stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul," verse 8, "arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand, and brought him into Damascus." Now, it goes on to say in verse 9, "He was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink." This was the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. He became what we know as Paul. His name, of course, was changed as we keep reading and studying the Word of God. Jesus Christ chose Paul to be an apostle. And just as the zeal that he had in persecuting Christians before his conversion, this same zeal God used for his honor and his glory. Not for the honor and glory of Paul, but for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 1 says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ." He wasn't an apostle simply because he chose to be an apostle. He was an apostle chosen by Jesus Christ, by the will of God, verse 1 of chapter 1 of Ephesians says. And I fear that there are so many people today who, let's say, get into the ministry who have never been chosen by God. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean there are certain things that we see, certain offices within the local church that are filled by Christians, quote-unquote Christians. Some people are saved and some people are not. Now, that may surprise you, but there are unsaved people serving in local churches. And the reason they're not saved is because they've never trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. But yet, they want to work their way to heaven. Well, the Bible says you can't work your way to heaven. I believe these people are misled by the devil. They think that by being good, by taking a position within a local church, that this is going to help them get to heaven. Well, prayerfully, while they're in that local church, they'll hear the word of God and they'll understand that they must be born again. They must choose Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But there are so many people, I believe, within local churches today who have never been called of God to do the job that they've been placed in to do. Some people, they feel that they're called to be a pastor. They feel that God has chosen them to do the work, to preach the word, to do the work of a preacher, of a pastor. But I fear that many of these people have never been called to that position. And we see that as we look around and we see how weak churches have become today. I believe that everything that happens within a local church rises and falls on the leadership. Everything that is done within a local church, the leadership is leading that local congregation. So therefore, if that person who claims to be a pastor has never been called of God to fill that position, to do what God has wanted in that local church, if they've never been called to do that, then the church is not going to prosper. The people are going to be hungry. They're not going to be fed as they should be from a shepherd, an under-shepherd of God. And so many times we also hear of teachers, Sunday school teachers, teachers of young people, teachers of older people, how that they get saved and they're placed immediately into a position of teaching the Word of God. Well, the Bible says that the novice, that's the person who's just been saved, they've not been in the Word of God, that they need to be in the Word of God. They need to let God teach them and train them how to do the things of God. And people who are older, they've been saved longer, these people are to take a young convert under their wing and help them to know the things of God, to lead and guide them. And I thank God that that's what happened to me, that there were some godly deacons who helped me to understand what it meant to be saved. Now, I knew that I was saved because I had trusted Jesus Christ, but I really didn't understand everything that had taken place in my life. And these godly deacons took me under their wing and they led me through the Word of God. We studied the Word of God together. And I suddenly realized that I had more than just going to heaven. I had the privilege of being able to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I had the privilege at that point to serve my Savior and to help other people to serve Him, to understand what their calling was, whether it was to be a pastor, whether it was to be a Sunday school teacher, whether it was to be a person working in the bus ministry, whether it was to be a person working with young people, a youth pastor. So on and on, the positions go in the local church. But I fear that many people have not been called to the position that they hold in a local church today. Why? Because they have not listened to the voice of God. They have not gotten into His Word and studied the Word of God. And the main reason is they have not been called to fill that position, called by Jesus Christ, by God, to fill that position. Many times a church calls a person to do a certain job, but God has not called that person. And that's the reason that even the people within that local assembly, they need to stay close to God in order to do the things of God. Notice verse 1 again of Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. You notice that Jesus, as Paul was on that road to Damascus, Jesus called him by name. And I believe that He calls us by name. Now, we may not hear it audibly as Paul did, but He calls us. He speaks to our hearts, and He lets us know certain things in our lives. And I believe that He calls the unsaved person and speaks to the heart, just as He did Saul of Tarsus, before he became Paul, he spoke to that unsaved man on the road to Damascus, and he called him by name. Well, Jesus Christ calls people by name today, although we may not hear it audibly. But he speaks to the heart of individuals, saying, you must be born again. You must know me, he says, as Lord and Savior, before you can serve me and before you can go to heaven. One of the greatest things about being saved is being able to serve God. We escape a devil's hell, a hell that was created for the devil and his angels, for those who disobeyed God, for the devil who wanted to rise above God and be better than God. But God says, you're not going to do it. There's no way that you're going to be above me. No way that the creation could be greater than the Creator. Remember, God did not create the devil. He created a being that was perfect at that time until sin, until iniquity was found within him, and he turned on God. He was a created being. And he could not rise above God. And in his mind, I don't know how the devil thinks. I believe maybe that he still thinks that there's a possibility that he's going to be better than God. But we know that's not possible, because God is the Creator. He is the sustainer of life. He is the one who gives life through his Son, Jesus Christ. He gives life to people, men, women, boys, and girls, who will come to him faith believing that he is the Savior, that he's able to save them. But the devil can never be saved, because he is the devil. He turned on God. And that person today who is not saved, I pray as I'm speaking right now that you have not turned on God, that one day, especially right now, that you will understand that you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let God speak to your heart through the Holy Spirit right now. Let the Holy Spirit touch you and understand that Jesus came into this world to do a certain thing, and that was to look for you. Now, we don't seek God according to the Word of God. Human beings do not seek God. It's Jesus who comes for us, and he speaks to the heart of every person, I believe, in this world, giving them an opportunity to know him as Lord and Savior. And if you've never trusted him, listen to his voice now. And we've been going through the Word of God. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word whosoever means you. Whosoever means you and anyone else who is ready to and willing to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible goes on to say that it's not by works of righteousness. You can't work your way to heaven. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy that he saved us. That's the only way that we go, not by works, but by God's mercy, by trusting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, by asking him to come into our heart. Lord, come into my heart. Lord, I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose from the grave. Lord, I've heard that, and I believe it. I believe it, Lord, because you've spoken to my heart. And I know I can't save myself. I know that I can't go to heaven the way I am. And Lord, I want you to be my Savior. If you'll pray a prayer like that, the prayer won't save you. It's what you mean in your heart. God is the one who saves you. But he wants to hear you say, Lord, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. If you'll trust Jesus right now, he'll come into your heart and he'll save you. He'll lead and guide you through this world. The greatest thing about being a Christian is being able to serve God while we're on this earth. And then as we leave this earth, as the breath of life leaves us, we go immediately into the presence of God. And once again, I believe that is the greatest thing, that we're able to see the one who died for us. He gave his life, and because, once again, he died, but he rose from the dead, and we will see him personally one day, after we've trusted him as our Lord and Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.